Blog Talk Radio.
Let me tell you about something new. A new show called G's Power.
G's Power.
Real talk for real saints.
Are you ready?
And it's for real.
Welcome to G's Power Hour, live every weekday at 11:30 a.m. on Never Had It So Good Entertainment Network. Your host, G, will bring you informative and entertaining guests and a variety of topics in a way that you can absorb and enjoy. Listen in weekdays and call in at 516-387-1944. We love interaction. All shows can be downloaded if you miss one or found on iTunes the next day. G's Power Hour is powered by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network.
G's Power Hour.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to G's. Good morning, brothers and sisters, kings and queens, angels and saints, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. We are in election season, pretty much in full gear going forward, and we had a debate last night, several debates, and we've been reading out people and everything, and we have the primaries coming up. Now, I have to apologize because I kind of lost track of time and didn't get this person on in time to tell you about the deadline for the primaries. That does not mean that there's not stuff that you need to know. He's one of my bosses, kind of like every other year, and I want to welcome to the show Mr. Bill Cowles, the Supervisor of Elections for Orange County. Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing good, and happy election year 2020.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, interesting already. kind of wearing some of us down already a little bit. But like I said, there's still a lot to get to. You know, now we know that earlier this week was the deadline if you were to vote in the primaries. And I know some people did get registered. I was with one of my friends and actually ran into somebody at a Starbucks. And they're like, are you registered? No. And so we got them to buy it and get signed up. But there's still, you know, the big election coming up. And also, I wanted to talk a little about how things have changed over the years. So first, I wanted to ask you, how long have you been with Orange County as a Supervisor of Elections?
Well, I was first elected here in Orange County in 1996. Prior to that, I served 7 years as the chief deputy in the elections office. So all total, I'm working on like my 31st year in elections.
Okay. All right. So nobody knows it better than you for sure. And, you know, it's a great testament to the work that you've done to keep things in order with the elections process here in Orange County that you've been reelected over and over. And I have to say, you've been a pleasure to work for and with. So I wanted to ask you about the changes that you've seen over the years, from hanging chats to recounts and all types of things. What has gotten better, I guess, over the years? What have you seen evolve?
Well, I think the key thing, and it's just like what happens to us in our normal life, technology has changed over the period of time. And one of the things that we've tried to do is to be up ahead of it or taking advantage of it. So, you know, some examples of what has changed over the period of time is that voters will remember that years ago you walked into a polling place and you had to state your name and somebody had to go through a paper list and look for your name on that paper list, and if you had changed your address and you had to do all this paperwork and you had to sign all this paper. Well, now we've moved forward to where in the polling place we have tablets that are connected to the main office with real live data at each of the polling places, and so now we're checking voters in using their driver's license to scan their driver's license to bring up their record. And we're doing, in all the forms are now on the tablet, and you're signing on the tablet like you sign at any other place on a signature pad. So, you know, there's a good example of how we've moved ahead with technology, just like any individual would see with the way they check out at the grocery store, at Walmart, on purchases.
So now, you were talking. One of the things that you were talking about is identification, and I want everybody to be clear on the identification thing. You don't have to have a driver's license, but you do have to, coming into the polling place, you have to have some form of legitimate identification. Can you talk about that?
Right. You're correct that you don't have to have a driver's license. Florida law says that you must have two IDs to vote. The first one is you have to have a photo ID. The second one says you have to present signature identification. And obviously the most popular document or ID that we have with both photo and signature is the driver's license. And so that's why, you know, it's the most popular, because most voters who go to early voting or go to the polling place on election day are driving to their location. And so the driver's license is the most popular. But the photo ID, there is a long list of other types of photos that are acceptable, and they can be on the weapons permit, concealed weapons permit. It can be if you have a bank card that has your picture on it, if you have a student ID with a picture on it. So there's a list of people that have it. Now, the good news is on the other side, on the signature ID, there's no requirement of what it has to be on. It's just you have to show something that has your signature on it. And so those are the two requirements. You have to show photo and you have to show signature. But the law also says that if you don't have your photo or your signature ID, then you get to vote a provisional ballot. That ballot comes back to this office and we verify the affidavit that was completed with that provisional ballot to your record here at the office. And then if it matches, it's automatically counted on that. And I have to tell you, we have very few voters that have to do a provisional ballot because they didn't have their photo and signature ID. And I think it's because of the fact that we all travel to our polling places or early voting sites to vote.
Speaking of early voting, and I thank you for clarifying that. And so, and just for the record, everybody, they're not supposed to ask you for your driver's license. They just ask you for your photo ID and signature, so that they can verify it. So that, you know, that having the driver's license makes things a whole heck of a lot better. So just to let
you know. And also, the driver's license office issues Florida IDs, which are not driver's license. But individuals with the Florida ID also have the photo and the signature requirement on it.
And so we've posted on the G's Power Hour Facebook page the link that shows you the types of identification that you will need. That's from, and if you need more information, you can go to OCFElections.com. That's OCFElections.com. But speaking of early voting, I wanted to know how has that impacted the management of the elections over the years.
And that's another good example of what has changed. Years ago when I started, you either went to your polling place on Tuesday, election day, between 7 mm-hmm. and 7, or you requested an absentee ballot, and that ballot was sent to you, and you marked it, and you had to send it back. And those were the only two ways to vote. And after the presidential election of 2000, the legislature opened it up and started allowing us to do in-office absentee voting. So if a person came in and they wanted to get their absentee, they could get their ballot, mark it, and leave it here. And then that kind of went to where they get, instead of leaving it, they could put it directly into the tabulator. And then that led to, well, why can't we have early voting sites around the county prior to Election Day? Because the legislature saw that as a good thing, because it was going to take the pressure off of the polling places on Tuesday, which was the only way you could actually vote in person. You know, and for Central Florida, the advent of early voting has been significant because we are a service industry community where we have the theme parks, we have the restaurants, we have the hotels, we've got the retail, the malls, the outlets, and people work not a traditional 8-to-5 job. They work shifts and they work odd days. And so early voting became very popular here in Orange County and Central Florida because people could go vote at their convenience based on their work schedule. And so what has happened is when you look at how people vote today, more people are voting at early voting sites. More people are voting by mail. We changed the word from absentee because it had that connotation that you were going to be absent from the polling place and all that. Nowadays, if you want to vote by mail, we're going to send you a ballot, and you can vote at the convenience of your home and mark your ballot and put it in the envelope, and we're paying the postage for it to come back. So when you look at the results of who voted and what the turnout is, early voting, number one, vote by mail, number two, and the polling place is now down to about 25% of the votes in any given election. So it makes it easier to get into your polling places because of the number of people who voted prior to Election Day early or through the mail.
I still have to say, though, that 25% can be a big mob, especially during a presidential election year, for sure. So
A lot of times people want to wait till the last minute to make sure that they're making the right choice. And so that's what the option of going to your polls does.
And so now I know we have dates for early voting coming up March 2nd through March 15th here in Orange County at various places. But now, and like I said, those are for people that had registered and gotten their registration straight by the 18th. But that's just for the presidential preference primary. You still have, once that presidential preference primary is out of the way, you still have like another 6 months to get everything straight, to register, to change addresses and everything. Not 6 months, actually. You have until July 20th, I think it is, to get that straightened out. I wanted to
let's expand on that for a minute. When we talk about the deadline for registering to vote, we're talking about individual who is never registered to vote in Florida. And so if you're a voter who has been registered in Florida, but you previously lived in another county, and now you've moved into one of the Central Florida counties, you can change your address and still be eligible to vote in this presidential preference primary on March 17th. Because today, voters are registered with the state, and your registration is mobile. So the key issue is whenever you move, you need to update your voter registration just like you update other documents. That way you get your information for the upcoming elections. But there is a deadline 29 days prior to each election where you have to be registered, and that's key to those who have moved into our state and not have been registered previously.
Okay. We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, I want to ask you about the purging process, because I don't think people understand what happens and why that happens and how it affects them. So we're going to take a quick break. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am here with Mr. Bill Cowles, Supervisor of Elections here in Orange County. If you have questions, the number is 516-387-1944. That is 516-387-1944. G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. We'll be right back. We're not taking a break. I just got word we're not taking a break, so we're going to keep going. We are here this morning. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment, here with Mr. Bill Cowles, the Supervisor of Elections here in Orange County. The number, if you have questions, is 516-387-1944. And so purging, I know, is kind of a sticky issue for some people. It's like, why am I being purged from the system? Why do I have to re-register? You know, what is the purpose? What does this do? And so can you talk a little bit about the purging and what happens? Because I think there's some thought that the purging might, I guess, in some ways be a little discriminatory, and that's not the case at all.
And that is not the case. And the other part, too, is unfortunately the word purge or purging has become part of the vocabulary, and it is not what it is.
Okay.
It's become a campaign tool to raise concerns amongst individuals. What it's called in the Florida law, it's called list maintenance. And we are required in each county in the odd year, such as 2019, to go through and contact any voter that has not voted in the last two general elections. So for 2019, that would have been they didn't vote at all in 2018, and they didn't vote at all in 2016. And we have to then send a mailer to verify, are they still there, and do they want to stay on the roll? So if we mail out that address confirmation that they're there, and if it doesn't come back, we assume that they're there and they want to stay as a voter. But if it comes back to us through the Postal Service and it has one of those yellow stickers on it and it says person has moved, and they give us a new address, and that address is outside of Orange County, then that person needs to register in their new county. And then if it comes back and says moved, and there's no forwarding information on it, then in both cases, we have to send another notice to that address. And if it comes back undeliverable, then we move the voter from active to inactive. But let's say a voter got moved from active to inactive in 2019, but they show up at the polls on election day, and they're at the right location, and they can update their record back to active and vote. Okay? Then the other part is that you stay in the inactive for two more election cycles. And then if you haven't voted in those, you haven't voted in those four elections, then you then are removed from the voter rolls. But at any time, you can go back and re-register to vote. So it's a way to keep our list up to date, you know, so that when I go out to mail sample ballots, I'm mailing sample ballots to people who are physically here in Orange County and are currently registered voters. It also helps us when we have to come up with our count of how many ballots to order for the election. So it's a list maintenance, and of course candidates want a clean list for when they mail out their stuff. They don't want to mail it to people who have moved and are not here. So that's what it is, and unfortunately between the media and advocacy groups that don't like the process, they have attached that inappropriate word, purging.
Okay. So we're going to get rid of that right now. So list maintenance is what is the term that is appropriate. And speaking of list maintenance, with the type of population growth that we have here in Central Florida, I'm sure that has been a challenge in some ways. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, when I first started here, there were less than 150 polling places because there was under 300,000 registered voters. And today we are up to 840,000 plus registered voters, and there's a possibility we may hit 900,000 registered voters by November general election, because the statistics say that on an average, 1,000 people move in or out, you know, a change of about 1,000 voters, or not voters, but citizens, every month. And so, you know, obviously Central Florida is a fast-growing area. So, you know, over the period of time, we have now grown to where we have 247 polling locations, and that's a reflection of our growth. But then you asked earlier, and we talked about the impact of early voting and vote by mail. So, you know, one of the things that's going to be happening on April the 1st of this year is the United States Census count.
Oh, yeah.
And when that census count is taken, then in 2021, all the states and cities will get that count, and then it'll be up to us to take here in the elections office to determine what the, once we get all the new boundaries for the state house, the state senate, the county commission, the school board, all those districts, we got to put them together and create new precincts. And one of the things I will say will probably happen is we're going to wind up having less precincts in 2022 because we're going to draw the precincts bigger because more people are early voting and voting by mail than going to their polling place. So that's a change you're going to see in the future as a result of not only the growth, but the result of the changing voting patterns by the voter.
Well, I know I got something recently, and I was surprised because our polling place changed, although for me it doesn't matter as much because I usually vote by mail anyway because I'm usually working on election day at a precinct somewhere. But, you know, but then those out because it keeps us up on, you know, not only where we're voting, but it also keeps us up in terms of what our districts are in terms of the county district, the state representative's district, and all that type of stuff, where you're located, so you'll know. Because a lot of times we don't keep up on what number am I? I'm in district 2 for me, for Orange County Commissioner, stuff like that. So it's very helpful to have that and also keep track of where the polling place is just in case, you know, and then you can answer questions for your friends and neighbors as well that live in the area. You know,
election, and hopefully for this election year for all three, there were 22 polling place changes, 5 polling places. The facility changed their names, but we're still at the same location. And then just this week, we got notification from one polling place that they're not going to be able to have us because the construction that they thought would be done is not going to be done. So we have a temporary change for just one precinct. So it's important for individuals to pay attention to our mailers because we want the voter to get to the correct polling place the first time. And so the first thing that happened is we sent out the new voter information cards that have the polling place change on it. And on February 25th, we will be sending out the sample ballots. And the sample ballots have a map with directions on how to get to your polling place on election day. So it's important for people to understand, keep your address up to date because it determines on where you get to vote, and then pay attention to our mailers about where your facility is.
Now, the other thing that everybody should know, everybody, and correct me if I'm wrong, everybody may not get a sample ballot because if you don't have a race to vote on in the presidential preference primary, then you don't have anything to worry about right now. Is that correct?
Well, that's part of it, correct. So for this presidential preference primary election, it's unique in that Florida is a closed primary state, which means you must be a registered Democrat to vote on the Democratic list. You have to be a Republican to vote on the Republican candidate list. If you are no party affiliation or a minor political party member, then you're not invited to this election on March 17th, unless you live in the city of Apopka, Winter Garden, Maitland, Edenville, Winter Park, and Belle Isle. Those six cities are having municipal elections. So if you're registered with no party affiliation, you still get to go to the polls and vote only on the city candidates and the city amendments that the city of Winter Park and the city of Winter Garden have. So that's the first part. You'll get a sample ballot if you're eligible. If you're no party affiliation and have nothing to vote on, you won't get one. The other part is we don't mail sample ballots to voters who already have a vote-by-mail ballot because they already have their ballot, and the assumption is they're voting by mail and they won't be going to the polling place.
Right, okay. And yeah, because you don't – the good thing about the sample ballot is you can take it with you, go to vote. So if you have trouble remembering what it was or who it was that you're supposed to vote for, you can take the sample ballot in with you when you get ready to vote when you go to the site. Otherwise, if you're voting by mail, you don't need one. So,
correct.
Yeah. So the other thing I wanted to ask you about is people who may be interested in working for now, and it may be too late for this election period, but can you talk about people who may be interested in working as a poll worker, and also talked about the Adopt a Precinct program?
Okay, let's separate it first. We'll talk about poll workers. And
okay.
The first misconception is that poll workers are volunteers. Poll workers get paid for their duty as a poll worker. The poll worker requirements also require that you must attend a training prior to working on election day. And so that is a requirement that you have to come and physically be trained. And again, part of that training, as you know, is hands-on with the equipment that you're going to be using on election day. So you have to understand how the process works before you can actually go work on election day. So there is a training class required, but we do classes morning, in the afternoons, we do classes at night, and we do classes on the weekend so that it's convenient based on your schedule. And so training's number one. Election day, poll workers have to be at the polling place by 6 a.m. to help set up and get the polling place ready to go. The polls open at 7 a.m. and voting ends at 7 p.m. and poll workers need to stay after the 7 p.m. to help break down, get the results, and pack everything up. So, mostly, you probably, it depends on the size of the turnout. You know, presidential election, more voters. Voters in line at 7 o'clock still get to vote. So you close later than you might on March 17th in the smaller election. So it can be a long day because by the time you get up, get ready, get there, and then work it, and then go home, it can be an 18-hour day. And so it is a long day, but it's a rewarding day to know that you've been part of the democratic process. So we will be recruiting poll workers for the primary election on August 18th and for the general election on November 3rd. And so if you're interested, it's just a matter of calling the elections office at the 407-836-2070, or you can go on the website at the OCFelections.com, and you'll find how to sign up to be a poll worker. And the first thing we'll do is invite you to an orientation session. And at the orientation session is where they go through all the jobs to help you decide which position is best for you. They go over the things that I've covered about working at the polls, working at the polls, and they'll cover the pay and all the things you need to know about working. And then you complete your application, and then they will contact the individuals about where they can work. We try to assign you as close to your home precinct, if not your home precinct, on it. And poll workers get paid anywhere between $175 and $275 for the election, depending on which position you hold. So let me stop there. And you had any follow-up comments about being a poll worker? And then I'll talk about the Adopt a Precinct.
Okay. Well, I mean, I've actually been doing it for, I want to say, almost 20 years now, off and on. My husband and I have been married almost 20 years, and that's one of the first things we did together. We worked a couple of precincts together for a while. He doesn't do it as much anymore. His schedule is not as flexible. But, you know, every chance I get, I've been doing it, and I've worked with some great people, and I've learned a lot in doing it. And one of the things I've noticed that the process is streamlined. You used to have a lot more people working at a precinct, and now you don't have as many, because, and part of it is because of what you said about the technology advancing the process and making it better and making it smoother and stuff. I mean, it's interesting process. As a poll worker, I will say, like you said, it was a long day. I pack a lot of snacks and a lot of patience because some people still don't understand the process coming from other places and signing up. There are people that come there that think that they can do like they've done in other places that they lived, where you can go that day and sign up and register and vote on the same day. We don't have that, but I think that's good that we have actually a great system of checks and balances to make sure that you know, the right people are voting. They're voting where they should vote, and we have still people that come up at the last minute to try to get in the poll. There's really no between early voting and voting by mail and, you know, the time frame that the polls are open. There's really no excuse for missing the voting deadline, you know.
We've made it as easy as we can with the three methods. So there really is no excuse for not participating. So to your question about the Adopt a Precinct program, just by the title, is nothing new. When I got elected in 1996, I said, you know, what can we do to get corporate America back into the election process? And that's where I use the thing that you all see when you drive all around. You see those signs up that say adopt a highway. And so my idea was, let's get corporate America businesses to adopt a precinct and provide the poll workers be workers from their organization, and that we would train them at their work location. And so that was the way we went. And we had just a few companies jump on it. I'm proud to say that two of them are still now 22 years later doing the program of working the polls. One of them is Orlando Utilities Commission, OUC, the reliable one. And the other one is Orlando Health Hospital has been doing it. So they came aboard right away. But I'm a former past president of a Qantas Club, but one of the Qantas Clubs came to me and said, you know, Bill, if you would just let us do it as community service, and instead of paying each one of us individually, if you just added what our paychecks would be for that day and make a donation to our club, we would love to be an Adopt-a-Precinct. And so that's when the switch went on and we changed it to a fundraiser, and the Qantas Club of East Orange adopted it, and they've kind of been doing it since then, sometimes with a full board, sometimes with just a group of their members helping in a precinct. But again, it was, they adopted. So it went from there, and it took off, and we've had more sororities, fraternities, school groups, community activist groups, and all sign on to be one of our Adopt-a-Precincts. And so for the 2018 general election, almost 110 polling places out of the 247 were adopted by a community group. And so to us here at the elections office, that's about 1,100 poll workers that we didn't have to recruit, because those groups recruited 10 members each to bring to us as part of their team. And so that's a significant number. And so the groups love the program, because like this year alone, they'll work three elections, and they will make on the average about $1,900 per election for their efforts. And so many of them say, what a great fundraiser it is. It's much better than going out and selling candy bars and selling Christmas trees or whatever it is to make that type of money. So they love it. And, you know, for us, also, it tends to bring us workers who are used to working in a team, and they know who the leader is, they know who the follower are, and the teamwork is already there, unlike when we put a whole bunch of individuals together to work at a polling place and they don't know each other, and it takes them a while to build some type of connection and working skills. So it's a win-win for us. And anybody that's a member of a group that is interested in knowing more information, there is a section on our website at OCFelections.com about Adopt a Precinct. There is a form that can be filled out by a group that's interested in being Adopt a Precinct. We will follow up with them. We'll come make presentations to their group about it and help them get started if they're interested in doing it.
I think it's a wonderful idea. That's why I wanted to bring it up, you know. And
well,
I know my cousin's church, I think the year before last when I worked, I was training actually with one of my cousin's church members, and they were getting ready to do it for their church. So it's a great idea.
Yeah, we've had church groups do it to raise money for the missions program. The other thing, too, that is unique is that we do allow them to wear their shirts that identify what group they are, because they can't be political groups, but they can be community service groups and all. And then we also put a sign outside the 150-foot no solicitation area that says that the polling place today is being staffed by, and we put their name. So we're giving them some recognition in the process.
It's, like I said, it's a great opportunity, and I wanted to make sure we got that in there. The other thing I wanted to – I'm going backwards a little bit. The one thing I did want to mention that I noticed on the website, which I think is a great thing, is the what's on my ballot page. And I had not – you know, and I hadn't been to the site in a while. I've gotten so used to kind of the process, and I go and I do my training, and then I show up. But it's a good idea to go to the Supervisor of Elections website. There's a lot of information on there, by the way, OCFElections.com. That's OCF for Orange County, Florida, OCFElections.com. And it's the site slash what-my-ballot. And you can type in your house number and your zip code and your date of birth, and that will tell you if you have a ballot. Or, you know, that you that is whether or not you're voting. I mean, it's so easy. So I wanted to mention that because I had not seen that before, and I think that's just one of the great things that has happened. One of the things also, too, that I wanted you to talk about is if you're military, even if you're away, you can still vote. You still should vote, you know, because it is your home still. So if you're military, you know, want to make sure that you're doing the vote by mail and that before you leave that to go, you know, away, that you've made sure that all of your information is in place. And then also, too, Bill, I wanted to talk about the voters with special needs.
Okay, we can break it in the first. The vote by mail is available to anybody. So for those who are in the military and they still call Orange County their home, then, again, just like the vote-by-mail ballots that go out to the local voters, we send that ballot to them when they're in the military. And so we'll chase a person around the world with their ballot, and we can also electronically send them their ballot. But unfortunately, they can vote it, and they can fax it back, or they have to mark their paper ballot. There's no electronic voting, but they are the only ones that are allowed to fax their ballot back to us. But the same situation, I was just on the phone with a reporter, and we were talking about vote by mail, and he says, oh, that's right, my daughter who's at Flagler College got her ballot, she said. And so, again, college students, you know, if they decide they want to stay registered here in Orange County while they're away at school, they can have their ballot sent to them and they still get to vote. Sometimes college students like to change their address and vote at their, wherever their college is, but that's their choice. And then,
I did absentee, vote by mail. I did that when I was in college. I did.
Exactly. And then, of course, there are people who have the luxury of having summer homes in the mountains or going off to see grandkids for an extended period of time, and that might overlap with the election. So any voter can have that vote by mail ballot sent to an address other than their permanent address here in Orange County to get their ballot. So, you know, we go to great lengths to make sure that any voter can vote by mail if they want to. As to the voter with a disability, federal law requires that at every polling place that we have a piece of voting equipment that will allow a person with a disability to vote. And it's called our Express Vote, and it's one where you have headset with audio so that the ballot can be read to the voter who's blind, or one with a sight impairment who can get a larger print, visual of the print, can vote on it. The keypad has Braille on it to assist the voter. And, you know, the other thing about voters with disabilities is any voter can bring anybody of their choosing to the polling place with them to assist them in the voting process. And so it's something that at check-in at the polls, they document who is providing the assistance, but anybody can give assistance. Same way, many voters like to vote by mail who are voters with a disability, because there is software that can read them their ballot on the JAW software technology. So, and they can have somebody assist them at home in voting. The other thing I would say is that the early voting sites have more of the Express Vote, the ADA equipment at them. And so, and also the early voting sites are there and they're larger and more time. And so there's less pressure than going to the polling place and feeling that pressure of voting to get in and get out, especially when many of the people come using special transport, and that's time-consuming and costly.
So what I wanted to find out from you, what are your big concerns with this year's election?
Well, obviously, the one of the concerns is going to be the large amount of misinformation that is shared with voters. And so again, just like this show and others, you need to go to the source or go to a close friend that you know who knows the election process and get the correct answers. And so it's the amount of misinformation and the tactics that are used to scare voters, whether it be to scare them from voting or intimidate them on how to vote, that misinformation is always a top concern. The next one is obviously is just making sure all the technology that we have is working. And that's always a major concern for it. And again, since we know since the 2016 presidential election, the whole world of cybersecurity, and much has changed in the 4 years since then. And I believe that all election administrators have made preparations to make sure that the process is safe and secure for voters to know that their vote's going to count.
Now, I wanted to ask for the, let's say, I guess, very astute, very educated, very, I guess, passionate voter that wants additional information on the people that are running, especially locally. Is there information that Supervisor of Elections Office has that available to the public about the candidates that are running?
One of the things that's a very area that we have, very gray area, but while we're the ones who conduct the elections, we don't get into the campaigning and all that side. But on our website, it does have the list of who is running for county commission, school board, or one of the constitutional offices, and basically, every candidate has put a link back to their campaign website or a campaign contact information that you can go to and then communicate directly with the candidate. So, you know, the key thing is not to just rely on sound bites, but get out and go visit the candidates where they're speaking, email them and ask them questions, and then hold them accountable.
I totally agree, because as someone that works at the polls regularly, one of the things that I notice that is a frustration for me is that I see people that come in and they're looking for the people that they saw on the signs or somebody that they heard on the radio or somebody that they saw on a television advertisement, and that's the person they're looking for to vote for. And it's like, why isn't this person on my ballot? It's like, because that you're not in the district where that person is. Very, very important to be astute and look for who is representing you, who is running to represent you in your district, in your neighborhood, where your address is, and not just go by, like you said, just, you know, what you've seen and heard and some of the propaganda that's out there. And the other thing, too, is, you know, just don't go there to vote for, let's say, presidential candidates. You know, a lot of times you have judges on the ballot, you have issues on those ballots, and those other people that are running outside of the president and those issues are more, I guess, relevant, I would say, to what's going on with you here, because these are the things that are going to the people and the issues that are going to be decided for, you know, how you live locally here. While a presidential campaign and the presidential candidates and the election is important, these other things are equally, if not more important, too. And I just wanted to throw that in there as well.
Totally agree with what you just said. You know, it made me think of something when you were talking about knowing what's on your ballot and doing your research. You know, I remember walking in on a restaurant on a Sunday afternoon, and there was a whole table of adults sitting around talking, and, you know, I could hear that they were talking about candidates and all that. And what I noticed was they all had their sample ballots, and they were all sitting there talking and sharing with each other what they knew about each of the candidates and what the pros and the cons were on the amendment, and they were all working through their sample ballot together. And that's just a great idea of getting together with people that you associate with, you hang out with at church, and just walk through and pre-mark your sample ballot. And then to your other point, it is just amazing that the highest turnout we have in elections is always presidential election year, and
right.
It's always, and the highest one is when we have an open presidential race where there's no incumbent. And, you know, that's really sad, you know, but it's the way we've gotten to the part that everybody knows about our democracy, and, you know, the president is the head of the United States and of the free world. Yeah, and so, but it's discouraging that they don't understand that more decisions are being made locally about the quality of life right here where you live, whether it be
mm-hmm.
from the city councils, county commissions, school boards, making decisions, and those are the elections that we get the lowest turnout because I guess it's if you're satisfied, you just don't want to vote.
Well, I always – one of the things that I've really been emphasizing in the last few years is the judges, because when you have these people that come up, let's say, for a Supreme Court nominees, and people are like, well, how did they get there? And it's like, because you let them go through the system. You know, they didn't just start off as a nominee. They started off as someone's local judge, and they made certain decisions. And I always encourage people, especially with the way technology is, where you can easily access information on various candidates, go and find out what decisions have been made by these judges whether or not, you know, you feel that they were in your best interest or not. So, because when they come up for a higher level, you know, appointment or election, you need to know what they've done here for you locally. As the Janet Jackson song says, what have you done for me lately? Really?
Yeah. So it's all about getting ready. So this is the time. Make sure your address
right.
is up to date. Make sure your signature is current. If you're voting by mail, make sure that you've studied your sample ballot. Make sure that you know where your polling place is on election day, and then go to your polling place and cast your vote, whether it be early voting, election day, or by mail. And then the last thing I'll say is the fact that there's something unique and new for Orange County this election. When you vote, you're going to get the new customized to Orange County vote I did sticker. Instead of one with a little flag. And I've been hearing that those who have a vote by mail ballot saw the new sticker, but they didn't realize it was to peel off and put on your and display to everybody that you voted. They thought it was just part of the piece of paper, but it's on a wax paper and you're supposed to peel it off and wear it.
All right. That's good. I like that. That's, you know, because it's just for us here in Orange County. The other thing I just wanted to say before we go is that if you are interested in possibly running for a position in Orange County, there is something on the website that says become a candidate and gives you some information in terms of the papers that you need to file and all that type of stuff. So.
Yeah,
I thank
true.
You so much for taking the time. I'm sorry,
right, have a good day. Let's all go vote.
Thank you. Thank you for taking the time. Really appreciate you taking the time. And, yes, please, everybody, go. Thank you for joining us. This has been G's Power Hour on Never Had a So Good Entertainment. We want to thank, again, Mr. Bill Cowell, Supervisor of Elections here in Orange County. Hope you got something out of today's interview. And if you missed something, save the link. You can listen later and get the information again. And also go to OCFelections.com. That is the site where you'll get all of the detailed information. This has been G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. Have a blessed day, everyone, and please remember, all real power comes from God. Take care.